Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? And no, I did not talk to you this morning and saw that you were angry and went back and wrote this title very quickly. But these were the words of Jesus, or I should say more correctly, God himself, to a man in the Old Testament. And this man's name was Jonah. When things happen in our life that we do not fully understand or agree with the path God is taking us on, what is our reaction? Do we get angry? Do we trust God? Do we get hurt? Because sometimes we can get angry or hurt or confused because we do not understand what God is doing in our life. But also when we know what God is doing in our life that we don't want to go through, we have the same reaction. I remember seasons in my life where I was angry because the journey that God was taking me on, I would prefer that he would consult with me and ask permission. Should I go this way or not? And I would be totally in favor of whispering in his ear, don't, because it hurts. Because we don't feel good at all times when God takes us through journeys, when he deals with our ego, with our pride, he deals with our issues. And those are the moments that we can trust the Lord because he is still good. He's still merciful. And he's still able to deal with us gently. But it's either he doesn't do things the way we expect, or when he does things the way he would like to do them, we don't agree with him. And like the people, the friends of Job, the questions that they had, should I have been there to tell you how to do things or what to say when you created the universe? In different words, I want to be involved in this process. But all what God wants from us to say, am I enough to be involved in your life? Am I enough for you to trust me that whatever what I have for you, it's not evil, but good. It's not to harm you, but to lead you to a place where you can look back and say, God, thank you that you are faithful through all this journey and that you brought me through. And I'm so grateful when I look back in my life for a few years of a period where I was battling with the Lord, having an idea and conceptions in my mind of how my life should be, what I should be doing. And in the body of Jesus Christ, ultimately it relates somehow how our family should be, what ministry should be involved, what position I should hold. And has everything to do with how we want to serve the Lord. But God is perfect. And I'm so grateful that he did not answer to my pouting. That he did not come and says, let me save you today. And I'm going to just do a miracle right now in front of you and you're going to be just fine. But it was a few years of a journey that I went through, that I needed it. And at times he still revisits those moments. So we can depend upon him and we can be reminded that God, it's all you. It's all you. It's the providence of God in our life. And I'm telling you, it's so much freedom in that truth. If we can grasp on this truth to say, God, you have a plan. You're sovereign. I have my ideas of how to do things, but I trust you. And even though the way you are doing things in my life, I might not fully embrace right now or fully understand, but I trust you. And through that, it's not that we become fake or indifferent to what the Lord is doing, but it's we're real with him. But at the same moment, we are accepting that what he's doing is for our good. And not only for good, but for his glory. If you can open up with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 1, and we're just gonna go very quickly through his story. It's so much that it's going on in the story, but it's only 4 chapters. You would think you would need like 40 chapters to grasp upon all the things that just happened in this story. But it's only 4 chapters. And the way the chapters end, the 4th chapter ends, you have more questions than answers, especially about this man, Jonah. But this is the words that are written in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 and down. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city called out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Verse 3. But Jonah rose and went to Nineveh and began to preach. Does it say that? I think that maybe in a moment, and this is just my thought, that Jonah was in a place where he was saying, "God, use me. Use my life. I have an idea what it looks like." And the moment God comes, visits him, and reminds him of the plan that he has for you, and sends him to Nineveh to preach the gospel, he did not like it. Maybe he thought, "I should have another position. Why do I have that calling? I should have the other call that my brother or my sister has, not this one." But the Bible says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And sometimes in our life, when we do not like what God is doing in our life or where he's calling us to, we flee from the places where he speaks to us, and we start to be occupied with things to get our focus off of God. But as the word of God says, where can we hide from his face? Nowhere. Doesn't matter where we go, doesn't matter where we are, he still sees us and he sees what we're dealing with. And thank God that he does not give up on us, and he did not give up on Jonah. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. You see, not only the call that God has for us requires sacrifice from our end, but also we will pay for disobedience. When we walk in disobedience, there is something of an exchange that requires us to pay that will cost us dearly. Yes, it costs us to obey God, but the cost of disobedience, it's much greater. When it costs us to obey God and walk with him, the journey is filled with miraculous, with wonders, with stories that would captivate our hearts. But it will cost us if we disobey too. And that cost is filled with pain, with sorrow, with grief, with regret. And ultimately, it will still lead us, because of his grace and mercy, still lead us to him. To say that in me, there is only fullness of joy. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Where are some of the things that we're willing to pay, to go through in our life just to kick against what God is asking us to do? So the question is this morning, what are some of the things that God is speaking to your heart that he's asking you to do? Children, obey your parents. Nope. Unity in the family. No. It'll cost you. Won't you be kind to the neighbor? He doesn't deserve it. Do good to somebody that is in need. No, I'm stingy. Invite somebody over for a meal. I don't have enough. Like all of the things that sometimes that God is calling us maybe to do, but we find reasons because it's not our personality. Have you heard that word lately? We live in a world of filled with social media that helps us develop ourselves. And next thing you know, going to church where the body of Jesus Christ is gathered for one for, with another to be in fellowship. Well, my personality is to draw back. I'm not very communicative. I get awkward. Like all of the things that God is saying, he will help you. Get plugged in into something. Serve in the body of Jesus Christ. Because giving is better than receiving. And sometimes we only come to that understanding if it has to do with finances. No, it's not just the finances itself, but also to give from our time. To give from our resources. To be there for somebody that is in need of a prayer, in need of an encouragement. And we can do all of these things that God is asking us to do. But we can say, but I don't like those things. I think I have an idea what it looks like for me to live my Christian life by myself or be involved in different ministries, and they have to be the way I see things. The moment things are done the way I don't see them, I'm gone. And this is partially what is going on in this story. That Jonah, he had an idea that God, if you decide to be merciful to these people, you will be merciful. But if you want to punish them, you will still punish them. What is the point of me doing this? I don't want to do it. So he began to run from the Lord. But thank God that God never gives up. Amen? And the Bible says that through different obstacles, through the storm, through the whale, and all of the things that took place in his life, in chapter 3, verse 1, God comes again and speaks to this man. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in the bridge. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days. And he's probably thinking in his mind, I'm looking forward to that Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. To the amazement of Jonah, the people began to believe his message. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Verse 6. The word reached out to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published throughout Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil ways and from their violence that in the hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Verse 10, then God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways. God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And you would expect Jonah to be happy. You would expect him to be joyful. God, you're so merciful. You're so kind. You're so good. Thank you. But he got bitter because things did not go the way he expected. He got angry because he thought that he should be a consultant to God himself. If it was up to Jonah, the city would have been in ashes. And sometimes in our life, thank God that God gets involved and leads us and directs us and corrects us. Because if it's left up to us, woe is us. But God in his mercy redirects us and points us to him. Now let's read chapter 4. And this is very important. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. I want you to think about this word, seemed very wrong. In our eyes, sometimes what God says, what God does, what the Word of God is calling us to live by, it might seem wrong to us. We live in a world that everything is questioned. And the Word of God, it's plain and simple. It's black written on the white pages of the book. But to us, when we read it, it might seem that it's wrong because we do not agree with God and what he's saying and what he's doing. But it seemed to him that it was very wrong what God just did. And he became angry. And this is a generation that we live in. That the response to push against the biblical truths and the principles of the Word of God is anger. It's anger. It's not repentance. It's not humility. It's not running to learn from the Word of God. It's not counsel that is led by godly people. But it's anger. And the anger of man does not produce justice. But it leads us more and more into a problem that we can never solve. Verse 2. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said? Meaning, if you would have listened to me, I would have told you what would have happened. Foolish. When I was still at home, meaning, God, you are sovereign. You know everything and you can do everything. And you can be involved in your business and leave me alone at home. Because we want to hang out home. We don't want to. We don't want to be proactive. At times, we don't want to walk in the Spirit as the Word of God is calling me and you to do. Walk in Christ. We rather chill. We rather be at home and say, God, you're so good. You're so sovereign. You're so amazing. You can accomplish everything that you want to accomplish because you're sovereign. You don't need me. In one sense, he doesn't. But in another sense, he chooses us. He chooses to work in this world through the body of Jesus Christ. He chooses to work through me and through you. And as I said before, I'm going to remind you again. God does not choose only to work through pastors or through a worship team. Or through a few people that are selected to be on stage. Because it might be awkward if everybody's going to be on stage. But that's why it's called the body of Jesus Christ, that all of us are to have an involvement for his glory and for the building of the church of Jesus Christ. And it says, he prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forcibly by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Man, this guy's a theologian. This guy knows theology. Hear these words. I knew that you are a gracious God, filled with compassion, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. I think this guy had a PhD. He knew everything, how God should do things, but yet he fails how to walk in obedience to the same things he's accusing God how he should act. Verse 3, now, Lord, take away my life, things did not go my way. For it is better for me to die than to live. Are you okay, Jonah? Do you need to go to the emergency room to get checked? That's what anger does. That's what, when we are not content in the body of Christ, when we are not content in what we are to do, in the simplest things, it leads us to anger. It leads us to anger. Verse 4. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah, I did not consult it with you. I did not ask you how to do things. And I'm trying to do everything according to my character of who I am. But you're angry. And God is not saying, oh, poor you, you're angry. But he's asking a very important question. Is it right for you to be angry? Can you justify your anger? Can you prove that you are in the right and I am in the wrong? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Even then, he knows God showed mercy. He's saying, I know you're merciful, and he's still hoping for destruction. My brothers and my sisters, in the world that we live in, what fills our heart when we see the destruction around us? Does it fill with prayer, compassion, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, or with anger? Verse 6, then the Lord God provided a leafy plant. God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about that plant. But at dawn, the next day, God provided, and you would think he's providing something again to protect him, right? He says, no, but God provided a worm. And this began to speak to me, God, you're providing leaves for him to protect him from the sun. And now you're providing worms which chewed the plant so it withered. God can provide something over our lives. But the moment we find comfort to stay in our anger, he can come and provide a worm to eat those things up. So he can awaken our hearts to say, I'm not gonna leave you in anger, but I'm gonna come and I'm gonna ask you, why are you angry? Is it right for you to be angry? Verse 8, when the sun arose, God provided again. God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Verse 9. But God said to Jonah, it is right for you to be angry about the plant? In different words, you have the right to be angry on this plant that I have created, that I have made, that is protecting you from the sun. And I also created a worm that will eat it up, that you will know that I am God. And is it right for you to get angry at this plant? But you think that I should kill thousands and thousands of people in the city of Nineveh. But the Lord says, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand, and also many animals? That's the compassion of the Lord. That's the mercy of God to say, listen, if you're not going to deal with your anger, everything that I do in your life, you're going to react out of anger instead of trusting my plan and embracing my plan and following me. And in my closing, as the worship team comes, I would like to look at the life of Elijah with this thought in mind. Is it possible that the things we are facing in our life are happening for a greater purpose that we don't see it now, but God is building a stage for what is to come? Is it possible that what God is doing in our life, that we can embrace those truths, because he's building a stage for what is to come instead of just fulfilling and answering our prayer right here, right now? 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 and down. And Elijah said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there should be neither dew nor rain this year, except by my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, depart from here and turn eastwards and hide yourself by the rocks. You see, again, the same call of God that came to Jonah, it's coming now to Elijah. And what a response. I want you to look the way Jonah responded and now the way Elijah's responding. And he says, and the word of the Lord came to him, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the rock of Kereth, which is east of Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you. In that moment, Elijah had every reason to question God, because during that time, ravens were considered to be unclean animals. So how can unclean bird come to the prophet of God, I am holy, and feed me? He had a decision to make in his life. Am I going to follow God, or I'm going to argue with him? So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. What did he do? Things his way? He ran away? Like Jonah? No. He did everything according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Kereth, that is the east of Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up. I want to stop here and talk to you about this story. This story began to speak to me so much that we have a man by the name of Jonah who is pushing against his will. And you can say, well, you deserve everything that happened in your life because you did not follow the call of God. You did not follow the words of the Lord. But now you have a man here by the name of Elijah that is following everything that God has called him to do. To the point of even saying, God, if you're going to cause this ugly birds, unclean birds to feed me, so be it, but I'm going to follow you. And God says, go to this brook. Live there. You can drink water from this brook. I'm going to provide for you. The birds are going to bring food for you. But it says, after a while, the brook dried up. In this moment, I believe that Elijah had every reason to get angry with God. To say, God, You have called me. I've answered to everything you have called. You have promised me water. You have promised you're going to feed me. You have promised me that you're going to supply every need that I have in my life. And now every resource that you have promised me, it's gone. It's not there. And I had every reason to be angry with the Lord and argue with Him. And his story will be similar to Jonah. But I love his response. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, go. And he went. In different words, he allowed the circumstances in his life, when it was famine, when the food stopped coming, the birds stopped flying, when the creek dried up, he still followed the Lord. And this is just my thought. But is it possible that God did this on purpose? Because he knew that if Elijah had water and food, lived in comfort, he might say, I don't want to go. There is famine there. I don't want to move on in the call that you have for me. I'm comfortable where I'm at. But is it possible that God says, enough, this river will dry up. Enough, the birds are not going to fly anymore. The ravens are not going to bring you food anymore. They're not going to bring you bread anymore. I'm going to cause something in your life that when I call you, nothing will hold you down. Because he knew that there is a widow. There was not even from their nation. There was a widow that was in need. That it was the last meal that she was preparing for herself and for her child. And God knew, I want to do a miracle in this widow's family. God knew that this child will die, and God will empower Elijah to bring the child back to life. And more than that, what's ironic that God turned to ravens, unclean birds, to feed Elijah, and to a widow, a foreigner, from Jezebel's home territory, to care for Elijah and to feed him, so that the purposes of the Lord can be fulfilled in the enemy's camp. Is it possible that sometimes what God is doing in us, the brook that is drying up, the things that are happening, it's because he's calling us to move forward in him, not to stop us from following him. Somebody once said this, faith is the step between promise and assurance. Miracles seems so out of reach for our feeble faith. But every miracle, large or small, begins with an act of obedience. We may not see the solution until we take the first step of faith. And faith is something that you don't see it, but you trust God. When the bread stopped coming, when the brook dried up, he didn't see anymore the provision. But this is when the faith was calling him to go forward. And because he stepped in faith, a miracle happened in a home of a widow. Not only a miracle where the dead was risen from that place where there was no life, when this child came back to life, but also a miracle of the food being in abundance. And that was a stage for Elijah to go to rebuild the altars and for revival to come into that nation. Hallelujah. When things dry up in our life, when the circumstances seems like, God, where are you? It's the moment not to be angry with him. It's not the moment to say, I have every reason to be angry with you, God. But those are the moments to say, God, help me. I want to follow you. I want to follow you in my despair and my anger. I don't want to take the journey that Jonah took, because I know that you can create a sun, and you did create it a sun. You can create leaves that overnight a tree can grow, but also you can create worms that will eat up that tree. But help me in every season. In every season, as the book of Habakkuk says, to still have a song of praise in my mouth. Everything will be gone, but I will still praise you. I will still follow you. I'm not going to take the journey of Jonah, but I'm going to take the journey of Elijah. That when everyone dry places and seasons are in my life, it's not going to cause me to be angry with you, but it's going to cause me in faith to rise and go forward, because I'm going to receive those times in my life, those seasons in my life, as you're building a stage for what is about to come. And what's about to come, something glorious, powerful, something that only God can do, something that only through His Spirit we will do. And it's a glorious walk, it's a wonderful walk, and you don't have to live in anger for the things that God is calling you to do because you don't like it, or the things that you think He's not doing because you wish He would do. But you can live in freedom to know that God, you are sovereign, and I'm gonna trust you that you will take my life from where I'm at to where it should be, and that you will fulfill your promises and your plan in and through my life. Anger, it's not the answer. Anger will leave you in a place where the worms are gonna come and eat everything that you still think that you have as a support, for one purpose: to turn your eyes on Jesus and for Him to be everything in our life. So if this is you, that God is speaking through this word and through the stories of Jonah and Elijah, choose the path of Elijah. That in the moments when He's using you, where the fire comes down, or in the moments where the brook is drying up, that you can still trust Him. And when He calls you, you will say, "Here I am. Sent me." And I know that the words are simple, but the action is great. But I also know that what God wants to do in you and in my life is not to harm us, but to reprove us, to build us, and to lead us to fulfill His call, to fulfill His plan. Embrace that. Don't fight against it. Embrace that in whatever the areas He's calling you. It's not complicated. Embrace that. Love on Him. In dry moments, in dry seasons of your life, follow Him. In abundance, follow Him. In the supernatural and miraculous, follow Him. Don't rely on you. Follow Him. And always run to Him, because He is the source of life. Father, we thank you for these stories that you speak to us and remind us that in every season you are faithful and you are calling us to follow you. And at times you will allow dry seasons in our life, not because you don't love us, but because you love us. So we don't get too comfortable building a home next to the brook, because you desire us to move forward to a family that is in need and to a nation that is in need of revival. God, thank you that Elijah did not get mad at you why there is no more water or why the bread is not coming. But he obeyed you for the supernatural, and he moved in faith to this widow. Thank you, Father, that in our lives you are teaching us through your scriptures. The dry seasons in our life, it's not the time for us to dig a burial and to bury ourselves, but it's a time for us to recognize that you're calling us forward. You have something better, something more miraculous for us. And thank you, Lord, that you have a good plan for us. Lord, I thank you for the example that you also left in the pages of the Word of God of Jonah. Thank you, Lord, that even in the moments where we're angry, even in the moments when you're doing things that we do not agree with, Lord, you're still merciful and you still provide a shade for us. But God, you love us so much that you will not let us hide in that shade in anger. You will also create a worm You'll also create circumstances in our life because you want to get a hold of our hearts. And I pray that we will be pliable people. I pray that I will be pliable. I pray as the body of Jesus Christ, we will always be pliable in your hands, that we will be molded and be made the way you desire us to be, oh Father. We pray that we will always stand upon your word. We pray, oh Jesus, that we will not be in a position, and we will never be in a position, that when we open up your word and we read what it says, that we will say, I don't agree with that. But God, I pray that we will always embrace your word, because our anger does not produce justice. Protect us from ourselves, from our ideas. Protect us, oh Father, and help us to embrace your word and the freedom that comes with your calling. God, I pray that whatever what we do, that we would do out of joyful heart. We pray, oh God, that the seasons that we live in, even the hard moments in our life, even when the brook dries up and we think, what is going on? I'm following God, and now the provision is not there. Maybe so you're calling us to the next task that you have for us. I pray that we will not get stuck in this journey and get bitter, but I pray that we will embrace the call that you have for us, and that we will be always willing to see what is next for us. God, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are taking us step by step. And that's why it's called a journey of faith. Lord, we love you this morning, and I pray that we will respond not with anger, but with an open heart to say, my life belongs to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. And I don't give myself, but I gave myself to you. And I pray, oh Lord, that this will be our story all the days of our life, so we can witness and partake from what you are doing in this world through the body of Jesus Christ. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? My altar call would be in the same way that Jesus or God Himself asked Jonah, why are you angry? Let me say that differently, quoting God Himself. Is it right for you to be angry? Because you don't agree the way I do things. Because you're pushing against me. Or maybe because your brook dried up and you say, God, I thought I'm following you. What happened in my life? Everything that I banked on, it's gone. Is it right for you to be angry? No. The right thing for you is to follow him. Because a greater miracle is awaiting for you than in the past. So it's a simple word from the pages of the Word of God. Is it right for you to be angry because you don't agree with the way God is doing things? And this morning I'm pleading with you. Agree with him because he knows better. His plans are good. He's perfect. He's loving. He's merciful. And at the end, you look back and you say, only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. And thank God he protected me from myself and from my ideas. Is it right for you to be angry? Come join me here. We'll pray in a moment.